Hey, it's Brandi Cruz. The following remarks were delivered to the Snohomish County Lincoln Day Dinner on May 17th, 2024.
I'm really grateful to Bill Cooper for allowing me to be here tonight to share with all of you what I think is at stake this year. I hope by the end of the evening tonight, you leave this room and you know one thing, that every single person in here is working toward the same goal. We might not be taking the same path to get there, but at our core, we want the same things. And those things are not possible if Bob Ferguson wins the governor's office. And those things are not possible if a single political party continues to consolidate its power. I want to talk about progress tonight. The other side talks a lot about progress. Here's how the word progress is defined: forward or onward movement toward a destination. Forward or onward movement toward a destination. Let me tell you what the other side's destination is. Their destination is to create a state where citizens are so beholden to the government that they're willing to hand over everything they hold dear: their autonomy, their money, their property, their children's upbringing, their sense of self-determination, their dreams, their ambitions. The other side wants to create a populace that is so reliant on the government that people forget what it feels like to be free. And this is not hyperbole. It is happening before our very eyes. I spoke to a man the other day named Aaron Babcock. Aaron owns a small car dealership in Eatonville. One day, he watched as a man hopped into a truck on the lot and tried to steal it in broad daylight. Now, Aaron was armed. So Aaron didn't miss a beat. He drew his pistol and he pointed it at the man, held him at gunpoint, hoping that he would simply let go of the wheel, be so scared maybe he got out of the truck. Yes, Aaron was worried about the truck being stolen. Of course, this is his livelihood. But he was more concerned with the safety of the customers who were on the lot. He was worried that if this man drove off in the stolen truck, he might hurt someone on the way out. But even at gunpoint, this criminal was completely unfazed. He drove right past Aaron, hitting other cars on the way out, and then he took off. As police responded, they tried to deploy some spike strips, and when that didn't work, they backed off. They told Aaron that the law did not allow them to pursue. Well, don't give up on Aaron yet, because Aaron was not the type to let that guy get away. So what did he do? Well, when police couldn't pursue, Aaron did. He took off after the stolen truck himself, eventually catching up to it, once again holding the man at gunpoint, waiting for police to arrive, and when they did, the officers took the car thief into custody. Fast forward a year and a half, the Pierce County Prosecutor's Office decided to charge Aaron with a crime: reckless driving for pursuing the criminal who stole a truck off his car lot. Our government has made it nearly impossible for police to protect you, and if you dare protect yourselves, they'll prosecute you for it. Because they want you to be so desperate to feel safe again, for your family to be safe, that you'll turn to the government for help solving the problem that the government created. They'll tell you more taxes will help, more gun control laws will help, that if you give up this freedom or that freedom, you'll be safe again. What other rationale is there? Why else would Democrats be so set on passing laws they know will embolden criminals and leave the law-abiding to feel helpless and scared? But it's not just public safety that has suffered the consequences of this twisted idea of progress. By now, you may have heard the story of a man named Jaskaran Singh. Jaskaran, his friends call him Jimmy, is an Indian immigrant. In fact, he just got his U.S. citizenship last year. He did it the legal way, the hard way. But he got it last year, and I'll tell you, I have never seen a man more proud. This is what he told me on my show recently about being an American. He said, "I'm very thankful to this country. It has given me a lot more than expected. I'm a regular American guy. I love hiking, biking, snowboarding, and regular things. I have two boys and a dog. We are a happy family, and we need basic things: safety, protection of our assets, and justice for all." Indeed, those are very basic things. But still, on those very basic things, the party in power cannot deliver. Jaskaran has a rental property in Bellevue. He has been dealing with a nightmare tenant who has not paid rent in 2 years. It's not that he can't pay rent. It's that he knows with our laws he does not have to pay rent. In fact, he knows that if he waits long enough, that not only does he not have to pay rent, but the taxpayers will be forced to pay rent for him. And that is exactly what has happened. The King County Bar Association's Housing Justice Project, which receives taxpayer funds, has twice now written checks to cover the back rent owed by this tenant, including a $50,000 check just last month. But even with all of that assistance, he refused to pay rent to Jaskaran on May the 1st. And there is very little that can be done about it. Jaskaran has gone to Olympia to testify. He's spoken to all his elected leaders. In fact, he's now running for state senate, which I think is great. 1 year as an American citizen, this man has done just about everything. But the law, unfortunately, is not on his side, even in a case that extreme. Eviction backlogs are endless. The tenants get free attorneys, courtesy of the taxpayer. And landlords get screwed. And when they are left feeling desperate and out of options, who will they turn to? Democrats are hoping that they'll turn to them once again for a solution to the problem they created. And what do you think that solution will be? Maybe a committee or a working group to grow the size of government and make sure that their cronies and allies get a nice paycheck. And of course, they will say the solution is more taxes to build affordable housing. They'll promise people like Jaskaran that we wouldn't have so many tenants failing to pay rent if only rent weren't so high, and that by building more affordable apartment units to rent and more affordable homes to buy, that it'll make everything better. Except that's exactly what they told us would solve the homeless crisis. Yet numbers just released this week show a 23% increase in the number of homeless people in King County alone. We have given the government and the party in power in this state billions of dollars to deal with the homeless crisis. Yet we have a worse homeless crisis today than ever before, up 23% year over year. That's because there is so much money being pumped into the homeless industrial complex that there is no incentive for them to actually solve the problem. They are seemingly content letting their fellow human beings suffer and die in anguish and in squalor on our streets with a needle in their arm as long as their allies get to keep their six-figure salaries. And they have the audacity to call themselves progressive. The question is, how do we get voters to stop being fooled into thinking that the party that will solve these crises is the same party that pushed the policies that made those crises worse? The answer is by making them see our definition of progress and making them understand that sometimes true progress means taking a couple steps backward before we can start moving forward again. just like the progress that our state is going to see on June 6th, when we take the handcuffs off police officers and let them pursue criminals again. Thanks to Let's Go Washington, Brian Haywood, and hundreds of thousands of Washington voters who demanded it. While there is little doubt that June 6th will mark progress for public safety, it took going backward to get there. True progress in our state must start with undoing some of the so-called progress made by the party in power. Their version of progress was trading a war on drugs for an apocalyptic hellscape, where more people are dying of overdoses than ever before. Now, I don't think anyone in this room is suggesting that we go back to the war on drugs, but our definition of progress is an aggressive war on addiction, where we pull people, our fellow human beings, off the streets, and we help give them their dignity back. We help give them their lives back, even if it takes a few days of clarity in a jail cell to do it. The other side's idea of progress is capitalizing on people's care and concern for the environment by turning it into forced compliance for profit. I mentioned the homeless industrial complex. I didn't start believing that was a real thing until about 3 years ago. And then about 6 months ago, I started believing in the climate industrial complex. It is truly the same thing. Higher gas prices, fewer energy choices, mandates for electric vehicles and emissions. Now, it's not that we don't care about the environment. I think every person in this room cares about the environment. You go to the most conservative place in our state, and you go to the most progressive place in our state, and you'll see who the true environmentalists are. But our version of progress is to empower citizens who want to take care of this beautiful state of ours, to incentivize climate-friendly lifestyles rather than pushing so-called climate solutions that don't move the needle on anything except making the working class more poor. The party in power's idea of progress is forced diversity, equity, and inclusion. Inviting, mandating discrimination back into government with policies and practices that are designed to hold people down so others can catch up. Policies that tell young people that they are victims because of their skin tone, and that no matter how much intelligence, effort, or God-given talent they possess, there is no way for them to succeed on their own merits. Our idea of progress rejects that. It rejects the soft bigotry of low expectations. It rejects the idea, above all, that here, in one of the most progressive places on earth, that we must be governed into treating people with dignity and respect. Our state, in closing, cannot afford to continue down a path of progress at any cost and for any reason or for no reason at all. That's why I say that we are united here tonight with a common mission: to save this state we love, to chart it on a better path forward, so we can live our lives in the way we see fit, free of needless and often harmful government intervention. We are here, every single one of us, so that our children and our grandchildren aren't left looking to the government to solve their problems or to make them happy. This isn't about Bob Ferguson. This isn't about the Democratic Party. This is about believing in a fundamentally different approach to government. None of us in this room, I feel safe saying, believe it's the government's job to make our lives better. We just do not want the government to make our lives worse. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
If you enjoyed the message of that speech, make sure to join me 5 days a week on the Undivided Podcast by becoming a subscriber at undividedpod.com.